B-Pod Studios.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter.
At Tucker and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. You and the New England Patriots have just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?
We're going to get the world!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. Now, at Media Day last week at the Super Bowl, Rich went out there and was hanging out, and all of a sudden he was summoned. Rich, you were summoned to a group of elites.
I received a little wave, and behind everybody at the podiums, there was a little area that was security. It was kind of cordoned off, and back there was Mr. Robert Kraft, and apparently he wanted to speak with me. So I was called over there, and I went and I spoke with Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft and Willie McGinnis. It was like the four of us, which is, it's strange when you have a man that huge just standing just to your right. You're like, all right. And you're just having a regular conversation. Like, oh, yeah, this guy could kill me if he wanted to. And he's fairly intimidating. But I talked to Robert Kraft, and he said, first of all, he said he was a fan of the show, which I'd never spoken with him before. And he said that I kept saying, we've been wanting you to come on the show for a while just to talk about, like, you know, hip hop and sneakers and all that stuff. And he said, well, tell you what, if the Patriots win on Sunday night, I'm going to call into your show that morning. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a tall order. I mean, you guys, aren't you guys up pretty late? And he goes, I'm going to make it happen. So I was like, all right, that sounds pretty awesome. So, you know, there was part of me that felt confident because he had said it directly to me. It wasn't through people saying he was going to call, but there was also a little bit of hesitancy because then again, they just won the Super Bowl and probably out all night. But sure enough, late in the show yesterday, we received a call, and indeed, he fulfilled his promise. Here was our conversation with Mr. RKK himself.
Brady has a game.
Oh, we got a call?
Oh, RKK is on the phone.
Oh, we got RKK?
Yes. Mr. Kraft, hello.
How are you guys?
Good morning,
how are you
Mr.
feeling
Kraft?
Today?
Oh, I'm just feeling dandy.
So you had one heck of a night. Well, first of all, congratulations. Number six. Does it feel any different than 1 through 5?
Well, this one was really special. When you think back 17 years ago, or was it 17 or 18, we were exactly in the position the Rams were in. Although we were bigger underdogs. And, you know, so much went on this season that the way we started out, losing two games in December, you know, people obviously kept counting us out and having to go to the championship game in Kansas City. And, you know, it just is a storybook season, and this team is pretty special.
Well, Robert, this is we've seen the videos. Last night, it looks like everyone had a blast. You were passing out 50-year-old cigars. How much sleep have you had for this morning?
Let's see. We got in after 4. it was so cool, though. Last night, you know, having Ty Law with us, who's the first player to make the Hall of Fame, you know, in our era. And Richard Seymour, and we had so much fun. Our fans are effing awesome, though, I'll tell you. We had, I think it was like 4,000 people at our party, and we had some great entertainment, and we had a good time. I think this is my virgin voyage on the Touch and Rich show.
It is.
It is. It's the first time.
I mean, is it intimidating for you to be on this?
It is a little. You know, to be honest, I haven't had much sleep, but it's worthwhile. You guys are good. I listen a lot to you driving in the morning. So, I think this is a special time to be able to do this.
well, this is great. You're a man of your word. You told me that you would call in if they won. And the whole time I was thinking about what I asked you. And one of the first questions was, what would you call the dance that you did with Cardi B during one of the Super Bowl parties? We saw you up on stage. It went viral. What do you call that dance, Robert Kraft?
I'll let you name it. I had, you know, Meek Mill is the one who really kept saying, you got to go out there. You got to go out there. You do it. They don't think you can dance. So, you know, once someone puts you on the defensive, they don't expect me to be able to. Not that I had much rhythm or.
Don't deny it.
You look great. When you got a gift, when you got a gift, you got to embrace it. There.
Followed the beat. I don't think most of my colleagues expect to see me Super Bowl weekend hanging with Cardi B and trying to show her a few moves.
But you're down with all these hip hop guys. So that's that, how do you forge these relationships? Like, you're like part of the hip hop community now.
Honest to goodness, I don't force it.
Right.
It's just it's just we live in a world where all of us have to find ways to build bridges and connect with everybody. There's good and in every situation, and you try to understand it and relate to it. And that's how you understand how the world works, and you try to keep people together to win championships, which is not easy, guys.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just the fact that you guys have been able to do it all these years is astounding. And what's also astounding is whenever I see you on TV, like there was that Celtics game where it was you and Gucci Mane, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, what is a conversation between Robert Kraft and Gucci Mane like?
Yeah, they seek you out. Is it for, like, advice? You're like a don.
Well, we were talking about foreign relations. They're very interested in Asia, the Mideast. we're just talking about worldly affairs.
Well, you're talking sneakers. There's no question about it. Is there going to be a special?
I do. You know, you guys know, I have a little bone spur in one of my feet, and I just decided it was much more comfortable wearing sneakers, and I started doing it with suits and everything, and Mark Parker, who's the CEO of Nike, loved that I did it. You know, he said to me, why don't we work together, and I said I'd do it if they would donate the proceeds to charity. And so we've had some fun with sneakers, and I get a kick out of trying to help design them a little bit and, more importantly, have the comfort of wearing them.
But listen, if you go into Bodega, mm-hmm. I mean, right there are the Kraft Air Forces, and they're...
For like half a day, and then they sell
out. And they're sold out, so mm-hmm. The sneakerheads out there are all down with Robert Kraft. Well, Mr. Kraft, we'll let you...
Real quick, okay. Have any of the rappers ever asked you to do a project with them? Not like, you know, like a charity type thing, but, you know, you say that you just follow the rhythm. Anyone ever asked you to guest on one of their tracks?
Well, we're going to take it step by step and not get ahead of ourselves. No, just the fun part is just, you know, the fun part of life is trying to connect with all people and understand what the messaging and appeal is. And so for me, that's the fun of life.
Well, Robert Kraft, you're certainly having a lot of fun.
And we're glad you called in. I want you to get some sleep. First, is Gronk going to come back? We've had this debate all morning long. Brady made a video kind of like a thumbs up, like he wants him back. Do you think that Gronk is going to retire this year, or do you think he's going to be back?
Well, first of all, how beautiful was that catch?
It was amazing.
How Tommy laid it in there and how he caught it. You know, Gronk is such a special guy. You know, I've always said, if we're coming back another life, we all want to be Gronk. He's got such a great demeanor, great way about him. I really hope he's back. He brings a special energy, but we'll see. And this is a time and I know Coach has always said this, and right after season ends, no one should be making any quick decisions. You know, you give yourself a couple weeks, couple months, and you know in your own lives, both professionally and personally, things change. And when you're making important decisions, you know, I have a saying, you measure nine times and you cut once. So you're careful. And so we'll see what happens.
Well, Robert, I just want to say, first of all, personally, I haven't really ever mentioned this on the air, but the Kraft family has been very good to my wife when she was sick. That's one thing. I mean, as a matter of fact, the stem cells that she got were from the Kraft Family Blood Center. It's at the Dana-Farber thing, which was, once again, thanks to the generosity of Mr. Kraft, and we won't talk about a lot about the money and the charity he does, but I want to brag on it for a moment because we've never had you on the show, so I wanted to personally thank you, and I've never talked about that before, but I truly thank you for that.
Well, it's our honor to be in a position. I'm glad it did some good. Dana-Farber does great work there. That was one of the first philanthropies when I started making a few dollars. That I supported, and it's nice to hear that. The docs and the nurses there are awesome. But I will say this, in 18 years, it's sick. And I want to close with this, that I really meant it. When 35,000 fans showed up a week ago Sunday and sent us off, and the support we've had since our family bought the team from the fans, it is just so special. And being in Atlanta and seeing so many Pats fans on the streets, that stadium, it was like a mini Gillette. Just want to say thank you to them.
All right. Well, Mr. Kraft, thank you so much for keeping your word. And go back and get some sleep, and then you and Meek Mill and Gucci Mane go and have some fun.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Kraft.
See you, Mr.
Kraft. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Apparently he wants a name for his dance.
I'm sure we have enough creative people here.
The hot dog sliced is what some people are suggesting.
The grilled dog.
The grilled dog slice.
All right, well, there you go, Robert Kraft.
The lemonade.
Okay, we have to break. We'll be back.
Toucher and Rich. Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I really don't get it, because at the end of the day, he says he wants to go somewhere where he can win. Of course, if you go to Boston, you're going to win. So I don't understand when you put the Knicks on there, or even the Clippers. They're not, I don't think, as far ahead as Boston is when you're talking about wanting to secure your legacy and win a championship. So it's really mind-boggling. It's like, what is he really looking for in getting out of New Orleans? You know, is it about winning? Is it about your brand? If you win in Boston, I mean, what does that do for you on and off the court? I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling to me that he wouldn't be open to the Celtics when I see these other teams on the list.
What?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm looking for something. Let's do a little bit of the Francesa thing here. All right, so Francesa.
Oh, okay. I just played Paul Pierce.
No, I know,
okay.
I know. But okay. We're going we'll to talk to Chris later. Mannix in a little bit. But Mike Francesa says that he has information about Ernie Adams doing, like, nefarious things in terms of cheating.
Did he say that yesterday?
He said in the past, but he won't admit to what they are, or he won't say what they are.
See, I have not heard this. So he is insisting.
Oh, he hates the Patriots. No,
I know that, but specifically the man of mystery, Ernie Adams, that's who he has pinpointed as being the guy who is secretly getting intel from other teams.
He says he has information on Ernie Adams, but he also.
Why not say it?
I don't know. I listen, dude. I don't listen to the show.
I know, but I'm
he has his top five coaches he listed yesterday. Lombardi, Brown, Walsh, Knoll, and Shula. or his top five. Now, there are rumors that because of his relationship with Bill Belichick, that he was upset about... He was upset about... Or his relationship with Bill Parcells. He was upset about, you know, Belichick and these things. He does say, without irony or without any kind of laughter, that... he could have been in the front office of an NFL team.
Of course, and Bill Parcells would have hired him. By the way, that list you just read does not include Parcells at all. I'm kind of mystified by that because Parcells and the Pope are buddies.
Because that would be home cooking.
Oh, I see. He's keeping it real.
Yeah, him and Parcells, they go down to Saratoga.
Yeah.
I also think that he did a list of top five quarterbacks, and I don't think he put Brady in there.
Of course not. No, no.
Well, I know he has Marino. He's adamant that Montana's a better quarterback.
Okay.
Because he's 4-0 in Super Bowls.
All right.
And then he, I know Marino's on the list. I think Bart Starr might be on the list.
Bart Starr, who won the first two Super Bowls and was very good before that. But I get back to Montana for a second. And this argument was brought up last week. If Montana made nine, and he didn't, he won all four he was in. But if Montana made nine, you don't think he would have lost a couple of them?
Sure.
Well, I mean,
point's not the debate. The point is it's Mike Francesa.
Okay. Is that he's utterly
maybe
ridiculous.
I'm just talking.
And the bitterness
is not listening.
I don't want to do the bit about who's the greatest quarterback.
No. But the bitterness is just phenomenal.
Well, it's great. I mean, there's something going on there. And the idea that he believes that he could have been in the Giants front office is just fantastic. They didn't pay enough money, is what he said. They didn't have enough cheddar for the big man there, Mike Francesa.
Well, they also wouldn't let you come back after you retired. That's the other part of it.
That's evident now.
Yes. And you know what else? Apparently, Mike Francesa agrees with a lot of people who are giving a certain superstar, legendary act a lot of guff.
What I'll say about Maroon...
No, that's not it. Okay, I will get to that in a second. But Maroon 5 is getting a lot of crap.
Right.
The 5 for their performance yesterday. And it is kind of funny watching all the people tweeting about it.
Okay, because here's what was great about Maroon 5 is you knew that it was going to be super boring and that music wasn't going to, you know, communicate well or seem energetic to an audience of millions in a stadium. I mean, when you're going, this love... like, that's not gonna...
They do this one?
Dude, they all sound the same. I don't know.
What's the, like, real soft one they did where you walk...
Oh, She Will Be Loved.
Like, She Will Be Loved is not gonna break through. It's not gonna pierce the television into your soul. But what was unexpected was how funny, legitimately funny, their performance was. Adam Levine's performance was really funny. The fact that he put on an AT Alien jacket and he was like boogieing, the fact that he brought a guitar out and put his finger down and just went diddly, 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 diddly. Like I could do that. If you handed me a guitar right now and you gave me a half an hour, I could put my fingers on the frets
and bend it
and go diddly, 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 diddly,
yes,
diddly,
of course
diddly.
You could.
And then the fact that it was a beat up guitar, then the series of shirts that he wore. And then he takes off a shirt and throws it in the audience and has, like, a camouflage, whatever the hell it was, vest on. And then, like, the topper, like, the thing that's really, it's boss time! Like, that part of it is, like, their big thing. Like, think about, like, Prince and you know, here we go. This is going to be the epic moment.
Purple Rain in the rain.
Yeah, and so this is, like, you know, going to be the epic moment. His epic moment was he took off his shirt, fine. But then he turns sideways and like wiggles his butt like into the crowd like he's some like massive sexy machine. I was at a house and there was a few people there and everyone just started laughing and it was organic. It wasn't like one person started laughing.
Yeah,
I mean like even my wife who has no sense of humor started laughing immediately at the idea that in those tattoos. Like I can't stop looking at pictures of those. Big butterfly and California tattooed across them.
The greatest thing about all this is that just down the street, 2 days earlier, the Foo Fighters did a massive show. And it was, I mean, the Foo Fighters would have killed the Super Bowl halftime show. They would have crushed it.
And it seems like something that, I mean, because the Foo Fighters, especially Dave Grohl, does everything. Like the Zac Brown Band played in Atlanta
and Grohl showed up.
And everyone loves the Foo Fighters. All of these bands love playing on stage with the Foo Fighters. He would have made like some sort of collaboration with Big Boy. Because what happened? When Big Boy showed up on stage, it was like, okay, the Maroon 5 concert has stopped. Here's a Big Boy song. And then Big Boy stopped. And then the Maroon 5. Well, there was like nothing that eased one into the next. There was no kind of cohesion. It was just like, hey, there's a bunch of hip-hop fans that don't like Maroon 5. And if we're going to appease you. Just wait a moment.
And if you're in the 5... are you pissed that it goes Levine dancers than the 5 behind him?
Yeah, that was strange. All I know is that all of the... because they tried to spin this as like, hey, we got a rock band for the Super Bowl, and a bunch of rock bands were tweeting. Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 said, this halftime show was worse than when my parents got divorced. then even like the dude from Living Color, this is the most joyless band performance
Corey
at
Glover?
A Super Bowl. Vernon Reed, the guitarist.
Oh, Vernon Reed, he's a sophisticated bitch.
It's the most joyless band performance at a Super Bowl halftime ever. They got through it. That was it. No vibe between the band members at all. No sense of camaraderie or shared mission. And then, you know, of course, some people are saying, hey, just in case you need a real band, give me a call. And it's a picture of James Hetfield. It's like, yep. What are you doing? Like, why are we doing? Okay, so let's get to Mr. Francesa, who had a big problem with Maroon 5.
All right, here is Mike Francesa. The 5, not his generation. I mean, this is for the kids. But here's what he has to say.
This quarterback, I'll tell you how bad he was. He and McVay were worse than Maroon 5, and that took some taking, because what I'll say about Maroon 5 when I was sitting there watching them is I wish somebody would have marooned them, okay? Because...
dude wrote that down.
He did.
Yeah. That's what you write
Row!
Down.
Row! What? What's going on, Mike? I have an idea. Maroon 5, I wish someone would have marooned them. Funny, right? Okay, it's in.
I wish somebody would have marooned them, okay? Because they were god-awful. And I've seen plenty of halftime shows. They stunk. And everybody around me, including the women around me who were waiting for the halftime show, said, oh, was that terrible. Nobody liked it. Gladys Knight, big ovation. The girls before them who sang the American the Beautiful, big ovation. Maroon 5, keep your shirt on and keep your day job. That was terrible. I mean, that was bad. Really bad. But as bad as they were, Duff was worse. Your calls when we come back.
Okay. Quit your day job. I think that is actually his day job.
Well, I mean, like the band's his day job. The extra jobs are the
what
voice.
I'll say about Maroon 5 when I was sitting there watching them is I wish somebody would have marooned them.
Was that Jim for the app or was that on air? Did you save that one for the Mics on app that you have to pay $9.99 a month for?
We don't have the Mics on app, so I'm guessing that was
darn
on
it.
The air.
This is a headline from NBC News. Maroon 5's boring Super Bowl 2019 halftime show reflects the band's long, bland career arc. That's NBCNews.com. Oh, my God.
Do you think this actually hurts them?
Yeah. Well, however, their sales went up like 430% or something like the day after. So, they do get a little bit of pop. But, I mean, now like people who are fans of the band are looking all around and just saying, dude, this band ain't good. They suck.
And I don't care who you are. If you go on a national stage like that and maybe a worldwide stage and you accept that like you're going to get negative comments. But when you get destroyed...
Should we check on the Black Eyed Peas and how their career was doing after their Super Bowl show?
That's absolutely correct.
Maybe we should just check on... which, by the way, as bad as Maroon 5 was, it wasn't the Black Eyed Peas.
No.
Because the Black Eyed Peas, they, like, tried. Like, when you, like, try over the top and still fail, and you still don't know what the karate guy does in the Black Eyed Peas...
Was that when Fergie did the duet with Slash, Sweet Child of Mine?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Fergie do it?
She did, I don't know. I might have Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that one.
Okay.
It was no halftime show with Elvis Presto.
You know, that was the 3D one, which you got the glasses at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. In like 1988, there was a halftime show with Elvis Presto, who was a Elvis impersonator magician. And they did the world's lamest card trick. All right, so here's the card trick. Follow me, because they're going to do this in 3D.
Yeah.
So he goes, which one of these four cards is it going to be? And then he goes, you cheer for him. And so they would show a card, and then they had a a meter that measured the crowd, but then they would flash at the crowd. There's like no one in their seats.
And then he's all taking a dump.
And then he's like, look under your seat. There's the card. Like, it was just like, well, you rigged the volume.
By the way, this is from that article. While most reviewers pan the halftime show as boring, it works as a symbol of Adam Levine and company's unlikely arc. Their career as ambassadors, mostly of the malign genre known as blue-eyed soul, can be blamed on an unimaginative constellation of label heads, corporate radio focus groups, and in-house music curators. It's music with a lasting impact that is most often felt shortly after you've left a department store or a suburban museum cafe. Indeed, one of the greatest tricks the music industry ever pulled was convincing the world that a band as blandly safe as Maroon 5 deserves such a stage. That's from NBCNews.com.
Yeah, probably not the best thing. All right, we'll keep trying on Chris Mannix. Be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Chris Mannix, answer the phone. Come on. Be professional.
Real quick, before we get to the stuff that's going on with Kyrie and Anthony Davis, you know, when we left on Friday, unfortunately, sometimes a lot of the superstars who aren't playing in the Super Bowl, some of the legends of the game, they show up on Friday, and they're there for a lot of the parties Friday and Saturday night, and they go throughout the weekend and end up taking off on Monday. So we miss out on a lot of those people. However, because some people in our sales department absolutely rule, there was a certain legend that was wandering around one of the parties that some of our people from the station happened to be at. And indeed, one of our salespeople who was smart on their feet asked him to do a liner, Freddie T.
Toucher and Rich, the Raider Nation loves your show.
Yeah.
Can you guess who that is?
Is that Mark Davis?
Mr. Marky Davis,
oh,
baby!
Hey.
There he is.
Oh, boy.
He's wearing all white.
He is, well, that's what he's got to do.
But just like Mark Davis, it didn't take him just one take to do it. Let's get to the first take, shall we?
Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. We love your show.
Okay, well, you didn't quite get it the first time.
And by the way, that's a man who does not drink alcohol. So you cannot blame it at being at a party.
So we finally have a Mark Davis liner.
Excellent.
Yeah,
and it took him a while to get through.
Took a little bit of a little while, but
all right. Chris Mannix, hello, Mr. Chris Mannix.
Morning, guys.
We appreciate you joining us. Now everything seems to be trending away from the Celtics right now.
In Anthony Davis terms, I'm sure.
Yeah, Anthony Davis so terms and Kyrie Irving terms.
Yeah,
this
has been a weird couple of days because when everyone had hope upon hope, when Anthony Davis had said that he wanted to leave, you know, first Celtics fans were saying, all you got to do is you got to wait till the regular season is done, and then everyone knows that Danny Ainge has the most stuff, and now all of a sudden you're hearing that there's a list of teams. The Celtics aren't on this list of teams that he wants to sign an extension with, but even worse, Anthony Davis's dad is saying there's no way Anthony Davis should sign with the Celtics because of what they did to Isaiah Thomas. So things are just going from bad to worse. What's happening now? What is the latest? Where do you think the Celtics stand in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I really wouldn't overreact too much to everything you've seen over the last week. You know, the Celtics aren't going into this situation blind. I mean, they have spent the better part of the last 18 months doing pretty extensive research, digging into Anthony Davis, because they knew that this moment was coming. And, you know, certainly it hasn't been the most ideal circumstances, but sometimes you have to separate what the agent wants and what other people want from what the player wants. And I can tell you, the Celtics do believe, and, you know, I don't know how much conviction they have, you know, behind it, but they do believe that if they acquire Anthony Davis, he's going to want to stay. And I don't think that's just guesswork on their part. Now, they are, having talked to people the last, you know, day or two, they are very much on pins and needles, you know, about whether or not the Pelicans will pull the trigger on a trade. I mean, Del Demps, the GM down there, is kind of a wild card in all this. I mean, I think they believe that the upper levels of management do not want to do a deal. They want to wait till the offseason to see if they can extract Jason Tatum or something more from Boston. But, you know, Dell Demps is also a GM that's kind of on the hot seat, and maybe he wants to pull the trigger on a deal in an effort to potentially save his job. So they're, you know, the next, you know, 36 hours, whatever it is at this point, it's going to be a trying time in that Celtics front office as they wait and see what happens.
Chris, if you look at the four teams on the list, though, they can't deal anything even remotely close to what the Celtics can offer. I mean, the Lakers have done their best to slow play it, and it looks like the Pelicans have laughed at them over the last 48 hours. But Milwaukee, short of trading Giannis Antetokounmpo, can't match what the Celtics have. Neither can the Clippers, and neither can the Lakers. I don't see any way that Dell Demps can look at this and compare and say, well, why don't I wait until the summer?
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. And, you know, when I have this conversation with other GMs and executives from other teams, I have yet to hear not one say that it made sense to do a Davis deal before the deadline for all those reasons you kind of just articulated. I mean, you know, the social media narrative, by the way, Laker fans on Twitter they have eclipsed Knicks fans as the most obnoxious to me. I mean, it's bad. Like, you know, Brandon Ingram is suddenly Kevin Durant and Lonzo Ball is Jason Kidd. It's like, I don't know. It's crazy, but the Laker offer isn't going anywhere. Like, the Lakers aren't going to wake up on February 8th and say, you know what, we're good. We're going to, you know, move on to I don't know who at this point. They're still going to be there on July 1st with the same offer or a more substantial one. And it might have to be more substantial because Boston, look, they're and I wrote some that's coming out today. They're not going to be outbid here. They're just not. Like, they're obsessed with this guy. And they have been for a while. I mean, this guy is the reason that they didn't go in on Jimmy Butler, that they didn't go too deep in on Kawhi Leonard. This is what they've been waiting for. And this is the guy that they have been, you know, stockpiling these assets to go out there and get. And, you know, I don't think they want to give up Jason Tatum, and now I'm just sort of speculating here, but I don't think they want to give up Jason Tatum, but I think they would if that's what it comes down to get Anthony Davis.
All right. Are the Celtics, are they concerned about what Kyrie Irving said this past week, kind of reneging on his promise to sign at the end of the season, sign an extension? He completely changed his tune. I mean, he could have crushed all this talk, but he didn't. And is the organization a little worried about what his decision might be at the end of the season?
Yeah, he could have handled things a lot differently in that pregame stuff in New York. But I got to tell you, the Celtics are, the people I talk to are surprisingly unconcerned. I mean, unconcerned is too strong, but they're, put it this way, they're more worried about what Dell Demps does than losing Kyrie Irving. Now, they understand that anything could happen. This has been a weird year. I mean, this is, you know, not what the year that they expected. But again, one thing they've done really well, you know, this year and over the last couple of years is communicate with Kyrie Irving. I mean, they really have developed a partnership with him and done everything possible to make him the face of the franchise and involve him in not in the decision-making process, but keep him aware of everything that they've been trying to do over the last couple of years. And I said this on TV the other night, and it bears repeating, that, you know, I had a former teammate of Kyrie text me after all that went down. And the one thing the former teammate said to me was, you know, the Kyrie's blow up, it had less to do with the Celtics and more to do with the circumstances that were going on. Kyrie just hates when somebody else's decision is projected to affect his. In other words, he can't stand the narrative that Kevin Durant is going to New York, so Kyrie Irving would go to New York. Oh. Anthony Davis is going to Boston, so Kyrie Irving is going to stay in Boston. So this is all about Kyrie wanting everybody to know that he's his own man and he's going to make his own decision. Look, this is the guy that left LeBron James. So he's going to do what he's going to do, and he hates the idea that somebody else could have any real influence over him.
So you're saying that was less a message to the Celtics than it was to these guys, like, shut up and keep your name out of my mouth?
More or less. But, I mean, I think one thing, again, he could have handled it better because, you know, Kevin Durant's not, as far as we know, Kevin Durant's not saying, you know, I'll get Kyrie Irving. And Anthony Davis isn't saying, you know, I'll get Kyrie Irving. He's just, you know, Kyrie's reading too much, you know, within the media and like, or is taking too much out of everything that's being speculated on and considering that it's coming from a source. I mean, this is just, it's people connecting dots out there. And it's just this kind of thing. This is what the teammate says, the kind of thing that drives Kyrie Irving absolutely crazy. So I think that had something to do with it. How much it had to do with it, I don't know, but I think that had something significant to do with it.
Okay, so if Dell Demps from the Pelicans is going to sit there on his hands and wait till the offseason, he's obviously expecting something massive from the Celtics. What do you think that package is going to be?
Well, I think that, and the Celtics, it's worth pointing out, like in all these talks with the Pelicans, the Celtics haven't boxed themselves in. They haven't said, to my knowledge, Tatum's available. Like, they're just not going to do that because, you know, that gets out and all of a sudden your season is sabotaged. It just doesn't make any sense for them. But, you know, they have been pretty straightforward that everything is up for discussion. Now, what does the package look like? The Celtics, I would guess, will probably try to negotiate something without Tatum first. And they'll probably make it draft pick heavy, you know, first. I mean, the biggest advantage they have besides Tatum is that, you know, as like the Lakers are talking draft picks and other teams may talk draft picks, they'll be talking their own draft picks. I mean, and their own draft picks are likely not going to be great because Anthony Davis is going to make their team that much better. The Celtics will turn around and say, well, Sacramento's okay, but here's their pick. Memphis is going to be god-awful the next couple of years. Here's their pick. I mean, they'll be able to put together a pretty substantial draft pick package to make it work. Now, the Pelicans may turn around, and everything I'm hearing is that, you know, they really want Tatum, and they really want the best player available in a deal. Now, if they do that, I'm sure the Celtics try to scale back that package if Tatum's involved, so that they can keep some of those assets to either use or trade down the line to somebody else.
All right, Chris Mannix, senior writer from Sports Illustrated, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We appreciate all the time, sir.
You got it, guys.
All right, see you.
Appreciate it. There you go.
I just love when Anthony Davis's dad comes out and said, you know, I don't want my son playing for an organization that
every other team in the NBA would have made the exact same deal.
Okay.
Every one of them.
Okay, fine. I agree with you. But then the list of teams that he's thrown out there, I mean, you can go through almost all of them and go, well, they've screwed over players before. I mean, just think of the Lakers. Look at what LeBron did to Kyrie Irving.
That and all the other teams on Davis's list can't come close. I mean, the Knicks are out of it because they made that Porzingis deal. They have nothing left.
Didn't the Clippers apparently promise Blake Griffin that he was going to be
a
Clipper for life?
And then they traded him to Detroit. I mean, honest to God, it's the business. And by the way, you look at the fallout of that deal, the Celtics made out like bandits. I mean, every other team, when presented with that exact same trade, would have made the exact same move.
Why don't you ask every player not named LeBron on the Lakers right now whether they feel like they're going to get screwed over?
Exactly.
I mean,
the Lakers would give up anybody to get Anthony Davis.
This happens. Now, whether or not what Anthony Davis's dad says affects what his son thinks.
No.
I don't know, man. I sometimes think that they, you know, people talk to their fathers. I mean, and we've seen it with Tom Brady's dad. I mean, his dad says things that we all know Tom Brady's thinking. And I think that sometimes
it's one thing to be completely, like, for instance, we don't know for sure, but I wonder what the Lonzo LeVar Ball dynamic really is. If Lonzo's like, yes, dad, yes, dad, yes, dad, or whether or not he thinks for himself.
Well, he's going to Phoenix, so you know that
right.
already.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the
best. I hope to God. I send him to Charlotte, send him to Toronto, send him to Miami, send him anywhere but Phoenix. I don't care. Just as far away from there as possible.
I don't know why he wants him in Phoenix, but he wants him in Phoenix. All right. We will be back in just a moment as the city prepares for the parade. Now there are at least a few dozen people that are outside waiting.
No, it's getting crowded.
I am not seeing that.
No, they showed it on TV a minute ago. It's getting crowded.
Yeah, there are people that are lining the streets.
It's just like New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Yes.
People are doing the same thing. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.